I definitely believe communication is not just about getting the next promotion. It's not just about being a better podcast host or a podcast guest. It's every area of your life, right? It's the way you talk to your significant other, wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend. It's the way that you talk to your children. So a lot of people answer fear here. And I think fear is a big challenge of public speaking. But I'll argue that motivation is the biggest challenge in communication. Why is that? What are the three easiest balls that anybody listening to this podcast should be juggling? And it's called RQV. RQV. So I'll start with number one.
Olá a todos. Meu nome é Mafalda e este é o podcast Super Us. Aqui vou falar de saúde. Seja comida, exercício físico, sono ou tudo o que te possa ajudar a ser a tua versão super. O objetivo da Super Us é conseguir criar uma comunidade de outliers, pessoas fora do normal. Pessoas que querem que está constantemente a melhorar e que não se contentem com estar bem, mas querem estar ótimas. Pessoas que não têm medo de lutar pelos objetivos e pessoas que querem ser super.
Hello, I'm Mafalda. I'm a health and performance coach. Welcome to podcast Super Us. Today we have the pleasure of having with us Brandon Kumarasamy. He's the founder of Master Talk. He coaches ambitious executives and entrepreneurs to become her top 1% communication in any industry. He also has a YouTube channel called Master Talk, and with the goal of providing free access to communication tools for everyone in the world. Welcome, Brandon. It's a pleasure having you here with me.
Mafalda, the pleasure is absolutely mine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. So I think it will be a nice way to start to share a little bit about your background and what led you to create Master Talk.
Yeah, for sure, Mafalda. Happy to talk about that. So I started in college. And I studied in accounting, funny enough, which has nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. And I went to business school for accounting. And I started competing in these things called case competitions. Think of it, Mafalda, like professional sports, but for nerds. So while other guys my age were playing cricket or they're playing rugby or footy, I wasn't one of those guys. I did presentations competitively. And that's how I learned how to speak. But then as I got older, I started coaching all the other students on how to communicate because they needed to get better for the competition. And I realized that everything that I was teaching them wasn't available for free on the internet. So I started making YouTube videos in my mom's basement. I called it Master Talk. And then it led into something I couldn't imagine 5 years later.
Great. And how was your own journey influenced you to choose to focus specifically in this area in public speaking?
Yeah, for sure, Mafalda. I would say for me, I never really had a passion for communication until recently. So it was really those competitions that I did in college that made me go, huh, like it's really, really cool. And I've always been a teacher, except when I was younger, I was a math tutor for like a couple of kids. And then when I got older, It was coaching communication. And then when I joined IBM, I worked there for a few years. I just said, people should be hearing the tips that I'm giving away to my students for free. Because I was watching all the other videos that other communication coaches were putting out. And I was like, I don't really agree with this. Like, for example, and I think you'll resonate with this. You know, one video I never saw on the internet is how to present in a second language. Right? Like, how do you present in a second language? If your second language is English, if it's Portuguese, if it's Spanish, if it's Hindi or something. And I know the answer to that question because I speak three languages, right? I speak English, French, because I live in Montreal, and I speak Tamil. So those were one of the things I was like, huh, like no one is making videos on that. So yeah, that's what made me do.
Yeah, I think it's nice because I believe that some people think that good communication it's only important if you are either a leader or a presenter. And I believe that there is several areas where a good communication could improve our life. What other areas you see in either your own clients or the people that you know that could have an improvement if communication is also improved?
I totally agree with you, Mafalda. I definitely believe communication is not just about getting the next promotion. It's not just about being a better podcast host or a podcast guest. It's every area of your life, right? It's the way you talk to your significant other, wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend. It's the way that you talk to your children. It's how you communicate with them. If you're yelling all the time at them, well, that's how they're going to learn the lesson. They're going to say, oh, I should yell at everybody when I'm older. It's how you make friends. Like, if we're not great communicators and we're a little awkward, it's harder to make friends, right? And friendships are the key part of leading a fulfilling life as just a human being, and also the way we interact with other people. And yes, of course, it affects our job, right? If you sound like this in a meeting, then it's hard to get promoted. But I also think it's the way that you talk to your family and the people around you.
Yeah, totally agree. And what, in your experience, what do you think is the biggest challenge that people face when doing public speaking?
Yeah, for sure, Mafalda. So a lot of people answer fear here. And I think fear is a big challenge of public speaking. But I'll argue that motivation is the biggest challenge in communication. Why is that? Because there's so many things in our life that are hard that we did anyways. So for some of us, it's immigrating to a new country. For others, it's learning a new language, a completely new language. Another one is having kids. Another one is getting a new job, asking somebody out on a date, doing a job interview. All of these things are hard. But why do we do it anyways? We do it because the motivation is bigger than the fear. So let's say we're scared of asking that person out on a date, but we're more afraid of being alone. So we do it anyways. We're scared of applying for the job, but we do it anyways because the motivation of not being broke and poor exceeds that. So the problem in communication, Mafalda, is there's no motivation. Like if I ask somebody, hey, like, why do you want to be a great speaker? They go like, I don't really know. Not really sure. So the fear beats the motivation in that example. So what we need to ask ourselves is we need to get clear about what the why is, and that helps us push through the fear.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that it's going to the first one of the first question that I asked. So what other areas could be influenced by a good communication? Because if we don't know exactly what are the benefits of good communication, then of course that we don't have motivation to improve it. But if we are clear, as the example that you're saying, okay, if we are if we can communicate well, then we can ask this person, we can transform this fear in courage to ask this person to go on a date or whatever. And but for that, it's the base needs to be, okay, what could be improved if we improve our communication, let's say.
I totally agree with you, right? It's really reflecting on those other areas of life and then using that. Because for everyone, it's different. For some people, it's, I want to get the promotion. Mafalda, Brendan, I want to get up to the next stage of my career. So communication and working on it, you're motivated. But for others is, I want to be the best father in the world. I want to be the best mother in the world, right? And that's motivation too.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what could be, let's say, some first steps to improve the this communication based on what we just talked in terms of first steps could be to understand what is the importance of communication?
Absolutely, Mafalda. It's a brilliant question. So my answer to that is communication is like juggling 18 balls at the same time, right? So one of those balls is body language, one of them is storytelling, one of them is vocabulary, pronunciation, eye contact, pacing, and it could get really confusing really quickly. So what I've asked myself as a communication guy in this space is, how do I make people's lives easy? Because yes, people can reflect on their why, but a lot of people might be sitting there on that piece of paper and they're going, Brendan, before I can't think of anything, I don't really know. So let me make it simple. What are the three easiest balls that anybody listening to this podcast should be juggling? And it's called RQV. RQV. So I'll start with number one. Okay. I'll take a pause and then we'll have a discussion. We'll go to number two and then number three. Number one, R, is the random word exercise. So what is the random word exercise? Very simple. Take any word you want. Tissue box, flowers, chair, ceiling, home, headphones, husband, wife, doesn't matter. Pick any word you want. and create a 60-second presentation on the spot with no present preparation. This serves two main purposes, Mafalda. The first one that people can write down if they want is if you can make sense out of nonsense, Mafalda, you can make sense out of anything. So if you can talk about tissue boxes, something you don't, I don't think you're a tissue box expert. I don't think I'm a tissue box expert either. If you can do that for 60 seconds, when you go back to your expertise, it's going to be really easy for you to present your ideas to the world because you know what you're talking about at work. You know what you're talking about with your family. And the second utility, the second feature is small talk. So what is small talk? It's two strangers having a conversation that either person didn't prepare for. So if you can do the random word exercise, you'll be a lot better at answering how are you and how's it going and stuff like that. So that's number one.
Yeah, that's really, it's basically to practice some kind of conversation in either the tissues or whatever to be able to make it more comfortable when we are in a real life situation. Yeah, it's if you can sell, I'm saying sell, but doesn't need to be sell. If you can sell paper tissues, you can sell anything. So it's a way. And I was remember that I saw one podcast that you were talking about one thing that is really important in terms of public, in terms of communication, is consistency. And I think it's like any other muscle. We cannot want to improve to be from not good communication to be the best communication if we don't practice. And this is one tool that I believe it's really nice to practice, and basically taking us out from our comfort zone in a secure way. Because of course that we don't want to go out of our comfort zone in a we don't want to go from a comfort zone to a completely stressful zone. And then if we just practice on our own, we are going to the, let's say, the growth zone. And then this growth zone, it will make the stressful zone much more easier because we practice before. So I think it's a great tool to start.
You explained that and way better than I did, Mafalda. Beautifully said. I totally agree. I need to steal some of that. So very good.
Great. And then you were saying the second one, the Q?
Absolutely. So Q is the question drill. We get asked questions all the time in our lives, Mafalda. On a podcast, at work, from our families, from the people around us, clients, business. But a lot of us are not ready for the questions that life has in store for us. I'll give you an example with me. So a few years ago, when I started guesting on podcasts, I sucked. I was so bad. I remember some guy asked me, "Hey, Brendan, where does the fear of communication come from?" And I looked at the guy and I was like, I don't know, man. New York City? London? You tell me. I don't know where the fear comes from. And I was really embarrassed. And I told myself, Mafalda, whenever I'm on a podcast, I never not want to know the answer to a question. So how did I fix this? Every single day, for 5 minutes, Mafalda, I answered one question that I thought the world would ask me about my expertise. So day one was, "Hey, Brendan, what tips do you have for introverts?" Day two is, "What's something people can do right now to work on their communication?" Day three is, "What's your vision for Master Talk?" Day four is, "How do you overcome the fear of communication?" But here's a trick. If you do this every day, Mafalda, for 5 minutes for a year, you'll have answered 365 questions about your expertise, and you'll be bulletproof. And the best way to apply this for somebody who's just watching this and going, I don't guest on podcasts, Brendan, how do I use this? Two easy ways. Number one is job interviews. You're going to have a bunch of job interviews in your life, right? That's the way you got to do it. So look up top interview questions and just re-answer them. Second one is questions from your family. So when somebody asks you at home, hey, why didn't you take out the trash? How are you answering that question? Are you going, well, I didn't take out the trash because, or are you responding with, I'm so sorry, I didn't do that? Are you speaking more calmly? So there you go.
Yeah, is to, let's say, to anticipate some of the questions and to practice these questions. To anticipate what could be, if we have a specific situation, like you were saying, the job interview, okay, what could be the questions that people may ask me? Okay, what could be my answers? If I'm going, I don't know, on a date, what could be some of the questions that people, that this specific person can ask me? If I'm going on a dinner with some people from work, okay, the same thing. And basically to adapt this according the situation. And of course, that in the example that you said for the podcast, it's always to ask a question, in this case, to my expertise. So in your case, the public speaking. But this could also be applied to several, like the job interview, like a date, like a dinner with some friends or whatever.
Absolutely.
It's again the practice. Yeah, great. I also may steal some of these points, because one thing, when I started the podcast, it was, I think, two years and a half ago. And I started the podcast because I identify myself as a person that have some difficulties communicating. So I wanted the challenge. So I created a podcast.
I love that. And you're doing great. So look at that.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you. So English is not my first language, but it's also another challenge to do some podcasts in English. But it's always to try to put myself in a challenge position. But this kind of tools that you are describing, the first one, the random word, and the question, of course, that this could be applied to when I'm in on this podcast, it will make the situation a little bit easier, because I thought about some questions, or I try to simply practice my communication skill with tissues, for example. So this will make the situation easier and doesn't lead me to my fear zone and only to my growth zone.
Very, very well said, yeah. Right? If we practice the harder thing internally and we do the random word exercise a lot, when we go back into the public, it's like the public isn't asking you to present tissue boxes for 60 seconds. They're asking you about what you do and stuff. So absolutely.
Yeah, great. And then the third tool?
Absolutely, V. And that finishes RQV. V stands for the video message, Mafalda. A lot of people ask me, hey, Brennan, how do I practice more confidently on camera? I'm in a lot of online presentations now, a lot of video calls. And the answer is a lot simpler than you think, than we think. The answer is just pick somebody you love and send them a 20-second video message. You don't even have to send it in English. You can send it in your native language. It doesn't matter, right? Yeah. You send them a 20-second video message, and all you do in that video message is you tell them how much you appreciate them and one thing you specifically appreciate about them. And that's it. The only rule to the exercise, Mafalda, is you are not allowed to retake the video. That is the only rule. So you can't do a second one. You just send what you have. And if you do that every day with a new person or with somebody at work or with a friend, a family, and kids send me video messages all the time. Like my clients as kids, they'll send like a video message. They'll say, hey, Brennan, like, it's really cool. And it makes people's day. And the key is not to overthink the communication. It's going to be bad. You're not going to be smiling enough. Your eye contact won't be perfect. Yeah. But after you send like 100, you don't worry about it. And one bonus thing that I do, I think I know one other person besides me in the world who does this. So if you do this, you're going to be really, really special. Is I call this the BVM, the birthday video message. So on my Google Calendar, Mafalda, it tells me whose birthday it is this week. business partners, clients, best friends, I'll put a $15 birthday hat on that I got from Amazon, and I'll send them a birthday video message. So that's something I do as well.
Nice. Sometimes I do this, but just for close friends, not for everyone. But this is a really nice thing to do. Not only the for the birthday, but the specific tool that you say, to send a message to someone saying why we appreciate this person. And of course, that these tools, all of them, I'd say, are the goal is to practice the public speaking. Do you have any specific, and this is one thing that you said that you prepared, because I'm an introvert, so for me it could be challenging to send a video, especially the video, because of course that if I'm practicing on my own it's okay, but especially the third tool that you said, the video, could be some specifically difficult. Do you have any extra tools that you advise for the introverts among us?
Absolutely, Mafalda. So the way that I think about it is to play on what I call easy mode on ArtQV. So let's go through each one for introverts, because it's 70% of the people I work with, right? So I'm used to it. Probably 70 or 80%. So random word exercise. Who said you had to do it in front of people? I love what you said. You actually explained it better than me. Hey, you can do this on your own. You can do this in the room with nobody watching. You can do this in the shower. You can do this outside when there's nobody. It's just you, right? Yeah. Doing the random word exercise. So that's R. Highly recommend you just do it on your own. And here's the trick. You do not start Q until you've done 100 random word exercises. Not 10, 100. So what happens? The first 5 times you're really bad. Like you'll pick a tissue box and you'll go, tissue box is a box. Like you're not going to be good at it. But then after 20 times, you kind of stop, especially for those of you listening to this podcast who have children. If you start doing this with kids, they don't think about it. They don't go, Mom, you know, I have a lot of doubts around this exercise. They just start doing it. They go, oh, yeah, tissue box, and they start presenting. So then after 20, you get really confident. You stop caring. You just go, whatever, like a phone is, and then you just start telling stories. So when you get to 100, what I found for my introverts is they get really confident. So when they go to Q, the question drill, you don't have to practice this in front of people. You don't have to do this on a podcast. All you have to do, you pull up the question, one a day, that's it. You write out the answer to that question. You open your phone. You go to a voice recorder app, like those free apps online. You could just download them. And then you just voice out your answer. Nobody hears the recording except for you. And then the next day you go to the next question. Do that 100 times and then go to V. And then when you get to the video message, by that time, you'll be really confident. But if you're still nervous, send it to the same person every day. So the typical example for an introvert is, let's say they're married. Like they have a husband or a wife or something that hopefully they enjoy spending time with. So you just tell them, hey, I'm going to send you a video message every day. So start with the people you're comfortable with. I do this. I advise clients to this with like their nieces and nephews. Let's say they have like a 7-year-old niece. Send it to their mom and stuff. That's fun. So yeah, I'd start there.
Yeah. So basically is the same tools, but it's just a little bit more practice. The 100 times, then the second one, then 100 times, and then the third one. And is there any specific books or other resources that you particularly recommend for those looking to improve their public speaking besides these three tools that I think they are really amazing to start? And also not only because they are tools, but you can adapt to what is more important to us, and you have a sequence. Okay, so you first start with the easy one, so you are just alone. Then the second one, you could be alone, but you could also be presenting to people. And the third one is like the more challenging, but you already have the base of the first two. So I think it's really nice to have this three. But besides this, is there any books or resources that you particularly recommend?
For sure, Mafalda. So 2 points of that. One on the introverts and the second is on the books. Happy to recommend a book or two. So you're right. It is the same tools. The only thing I'll add, which is more on the mindset, is what I found with my introverts is they often forget the 2 to 3 things in communication that they do significantly better. Like, they're way better at extroverts then. So take it from an extrovert like me. I had to learn this from people like yourself on how to do better. So I'll give you those 3 examples. The first one is pausing. The second one is listening. And the third one is accessibility. Yeah. So let's tackle all 3. So pausing. Pausing is the most important skill in communication, Mafalda, where you take a pause in between your thoughts to get people to absorb your message. Extroverts like me are horrible at pausing. It took me years to master this because I like to talk. That's why I'm a great podcast guest, but I'm a terrible podcast host, right? Because I just like talking. Whereas introverts, they speak less on average, right? So whenever I'm teaching an introvert to pause, they pick it up very, very fast because they're used to the silence. That's one. Number 2 is listening. So this podcast is actually the best example of this. You've remembered every single thing I said 20 minutes ago. So I said, hey, there's 3 things, R, Q, V, and you just kept going on R, then Q, yeah, then V. And you even recapped it better than me. So you proved the point that introverts are better at listening for the simple reason that they talk less on average. So naturally, they'll spend more time listening.
Makes sense.
And number 3 is accessibility. So this one, a lot of people don't know. So I'll take 2 speakers people might not know, which is Gary Vaynerchuk and Brené Brown. So for those who don't know who Gary V is, he's like a massive social media star. He owns a big company, like a marketing agency. And I love Gary V, but the problem with him is because he's so extroverted, you either really, really love the guy or you really, really hate him. So there's no in between. He's either like God to you, like your hero, your superstar, or he's like the devil. He's one or the other. But nobody says that about Brené Brown, Mafalda, right? Like, Brené Brown is like a vulnerability expert. She's super soft when she speaks. Nobody says, I hate Brené Brown. Like, if you say that, you should go to jail, right? Like, nobody says that. So that's the other piece as well. In terms of the books, what I'd recommend, I always like to recommend one. Obviously, the best book you need is to get out there and speak, right? You don't really need a book. Yeah. But if you want to read a book, I would recommend Thirst by Scott Harrison. Thirst by Scott Harrison, T-H-I-R-S-T. So Scott Harrison is the CEO and founder of Charity Water. It's a nonprofit he started to help people gain access to clean water. The reason I recommend his book in the context of my work, though, is he's a phenomenal storyteller. I love the way that he tells the stories of the brand, and it's a practical example of somebody using communication for success, so I'd recommend that book.
Yeah, thank you. Just coming back to the point that you were saying before, the 3 things, the pausing, the listening, and the accessibility, I agree with you, and I never thought in terms of the listening, yes. I saw myself as a person that listen, and I already, one thing that helped me deconstruct the belief that I was not a good communication was thinking that, okay, to be a good communicator, one thing that is necessary, at least in my point of view, is to listen the other person, because communication is a two-way street, right? And to be a good communicator, you need to be a good listener. So if I'm a good listener, then I'm, let's say, not halfway there, but 25% there, let's say. So this was one thing that helped me deconstruct a little bit, because I think there is, I don't know if there is studies, but I believe that that could be a correlation between introverts and or extroverts and good communicators. Or at least I believe that extroverts have it's easier for them to communicate. But people tend to believe that introverts cannot improve this ability. But I think this is these tools that you mentioned, is they are really good because, okay, this is one recipe that you can follow. Even if you are an introvert, it's possible for you to communicate better. Of course, that there could be some additional points that could be deconstructed, like self-confidence, self-esteem, that could influence this ability to communicate. But this is a really practical tools for people to start working on their communication skills. And on the other side, the tools that you were talking, the specific difference on the tools for introverts, is there any specific difference that you think is important when we are talking about extroverts? So what could be some differences in these tools that extroverts could need to do?
Yeah, it's a great question. Not a lot of people ask me that one, Mafalda. Here's what I would say. So we talked about the three strengths of introverts, right? Listening, pausing, accessibility. Now let's tackle the three strengths of an extrovert, and then we'll get to the advice. So extroverts, it's voice projection. So because they talk a lot, they'll go to the karaoke session, they'll spend more time talking, right? Vocal projection is very good. So when they vary their tone, they're very good, like speakers and sharing ideas.
Yeah.
Second one is they're willing to take more risk. So risk just means they're willing to say hi to that random stranger at a bar or that party or at the shopping store and just go like, just ask for directions. Hey, where's the bacon? Where's the food? Where's this? Like at the store, they're willing to take more risk. So they're a lot more comfortable on a stage because they've just learned to take risk in their life. That's number two. And the second one is eye contact. So an extrovert is very good at good at looking at you in the eyes when they're speaking to you. So they'll just keep their eyes on you. So for an introvert, if they're getting stared at too long, they start to like go, they start moving their eyes, at least the super shy ones. So it's hard for introverts to maintain eye contact, whereas an extrovert can do it all day long and just keep looking at you in the eyes and not really mind and not make it uncomfortable for them anyways. So what's the lesson in all of this, Mafalda? The lesson is the master communicator learns from both sides. The master communicator learns from both sides. So I'll give an example that I'm doing indirectly on this podcast, right? That a lot of people aren't aware of, which is I'm an extrovert, right? So I'm very good at vocal projection. I'm very loud. I'm great at parties, all that stuff. But you'll notice throughout this entire podcast, I'm speaking very quietly. Why is this, right? Because on my social media account, I'm very loud. The reason is because you're more introverted. So what a master communicator does is they match their vocal tone. So I'm actually putting in effort to change my vocal tone to match your vocal range. And the reason is this is so important, especially on a podcast, is because the person who is attracted to you, who's listening to your message, is 1,000,000% an introvert, right? Because they resonate with your vocal range. So that's very advanced stuff. But the key is the master communicator learns from both. So if you're more introverted, you got to learn how to change your vocal projections. You got to learn how to adapt. But if you're more extroverted like me, you got to learn how to listen more. You got to learn how to pause. You got to learn how to take breaths in conversation. And that's the key.
Yeah, make totally sense. In it's like in neuro-linguistic programming, we have a thing that is called rapport. It's basically to adapt not only our it's the formal communication, that what the words that you are saying, but the way that we are saying, the gestures that we do or don't do, if you are more open or if you are more close, and being able not only to improve ourselves as a base, but then as a, let's say, second level, if you can say, is to adapt to the person that is in front of us, like you were saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's really important, of course, that the first three tools that you said is to create this base, if I believe so, okay, it's to improve our communication. And then as a second level is to to try to improve on the three things of the opposite type of personality. If we are introvert, try to use the three things to try to improve the three things from introvert, and the opposite if you are an introvert, using the things from the extrovert.
Absolutely, yeah. Mafalda. And I could give you 15 more tips, but that's really the idea. It's like we start here, we build up our frequency, and then we build up our confidence over time to then become great speakers.
I wanted to take a break in this video to tell you about my super program, my health and performance coach program. There are 6 individual sessions over 10 weeks. Let's define who you want to be, what your goals are, and what you need to do to get there. Let's understand how you can improve your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being to achieve your best version. If you have any inquiries, you can navigate to superaz.pthproducts. You can also send an email to mafala@superaz.com or transmit a message via social media.
I think the only one left to cover that's probably important to this podcast is how to present in a second language, which I'm happy to talk about as well if you want.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really nice because, at least for me, it's not my maternal language here. And I believe that there is a lot of people that, because we are a global world now, so I think a lot of people need to present themselves in other languages. So I think it would be a really nice topic to talk about.
For sure, Mafalda. So let me tell you a story, which is I struggled presenting in a second language. I'll tell you why. Because obviously my English is my first one. But growing up in Montreal in Canada, for those who don't know, it's a city where you need to know how to speak French, or it's really hard to get a job and it's really hard to do business. So my parents made the decision to put me in French school when I was a kid, even if I didn't know French, which I'm super grateful for now because I can go to France or just talk in Montreal and I'll be fine, right? But the problem is every time I would go up on a classroom in first grade, second grade, I'd look at the crowd and go, bonjour. And that was my life growing up as a kid. So trust me, my advice comes from a place of empathy. Like I struggled my whole life presenting second language. Now I can do podcasts in Tamil and French, but even my French is still a little broken. It's not perfect, right? So here's the key. There's 3 parts to being really good at your second language. And for 90% of you listening to this, your second language is probably English. So here's the way you got to play this. Yeah. The first step is to write a speech in your native language, in the language you're comfortable in. It doesn't matter if it's Portuguese, it could be Hindi, it could be Mandarin, doesn't matter. Why is that important? Because the only difference between your first and your second language, in my opinion, is not intelligent. It is simply culture and vocabulary. So there's certain sayings that we understand in our native tongue, but when we go to English or we go to our second language, it doesn't really translate that well and it doesn't make sense. We find ourselves trying to find the words. And the second one is just vocabulary. It's just knowing what the right word is to say. So you start by writing your first language. So when I was a kid, I would write all my presentations in my first language. Then what would I do? Step 2. I would translate that presentation into the language I need to speak it in, which is mostly going to be English in this case. So you're translating it to English.
Yeah.
Then the last step, this is the most important one. You present your presentation in front of native speakers of English. I call this the vocabulary test. So let's say you're giving a presentation. So somebody who's a native speaker will listen to this and go, Brendan, Mafalda, I would change this, this, this. That's not actually how you say this. So I do this in French. So for example, in French, I'll say contact de l'œil, which is eye contact in French, but it's the incorrect translation because I translated it directly. And they would, French native speakers would look at me and go like, it's not contact de l'œil. That makes no sense. It's contact oculaire. So you have to change it, the word. And I was like, all right. So these things you learn and then you get sharp and then you don't have to do that anymore.
Okay, nice. Yeah. But then how do you do this? You practice with, of course, that in your case, you live in a place where people talk in French. So you have people around you that speak the native language, but is there any advice that you can give for people that, for example, they work in Portugal, let's say, but they have clients in UK, for example?
Yeah, that's a great point. So what I always default to is always take what's best available to you, right? So if I was in Portugal and my first language is either Spanish or Portuguese, what I would do is I would find the best native English speaker within my Portuguese community or Spanish community, right? So I'd look at, and the other thing that I would challenge people on, the world has changed a lot, Mafalda. I don't know about you, but a lot of my best friends don't even live in the same country as me. Like one of my buddies, he lives in Brazil. I haven't seen the guy in 6 years, but he came all the way to Montreal to visit me. Now he's going back and it's going to take him like 38 hours to get there. So like you don't have to limit yourself to your geography. There's a lot of language groups online, and I'm sure all of us have at least one international friend, just one who lives somewhere else, who actually lives in the US, who lives in London. So practice with them. You'd be surprised when you ask for help or some advice. Almost everybody says yes. And that's really the key.
Yeah, it's true. And there is also some, not remembering the name, but there is also a software where you can talk with people that are native to learn the language, and you can choose if you, of course, that normally you pay more, this is paid, you pay more if it's a native, but this is a way that you can practice also. If you don't have any friends or any resource, you can also try to use this, that basically it's instead of learning English in this case in a school, you learn talking with another person, and in this case you practice talking with another person. So it's also a good way to do if you don't have any friends. But I agree with you. I think even if we post on Instagram, is there any native English speakers that could listen to me for 5 minutes, I'm sure that someone will reply. So
absolutely.
Is there any other tools that you find, either with your experience with your clients, that you find particularly helpful, either for introverts or extroverts?
For sure, Mafalda. Happy to share another tip. So this one is how to structure presentations. How do you present really well? So the strategy I teach is called puzzles. So all of us, I'm sure, played jigsaw puzzles at some point in our life. You know, those little pieces you kind of put together, there's like 1,000 of them in a box, and you kind of put them together.
Yeah.
So the question for us to answer is, if you are working on a puzzle, which pieces would you start with first and why? And the answer is the edges. The reason it's the edges is because they're easier to find in the box. They've got the little edge to them. And then you work your way into the middle. Makes sense, right? Simple. Why am I bringing that up? I'm telling you this, Mafalda, because unfortunately, most of us in the world, when we build a presentation, we start with the opposite first. We start the middle. We shove a bunch of content in the presentation. We get to the presentation. We ramble throughout the whole thing. And then the last slide just goes, yeah, so thanks. Not the right approach, right? So instead, what you want to do is practice like a jigsaw puzzle. Start with the edges first. Take your introduction, the first 2 minutes of your speech, and present that 10 to 15 times. But Brendan, 10 to 15 times is a lot of work. I don't want to do that. Remember, it's 2 minutes, right? So this is a 30-minute exercise.
Yeah.
Very easy to do. Same thing with the conclusion. What's a great movie or TV show with a terrible ending? Last time I checked, Mafalda, terrible movie, right? It's kind of like Game of Thrones. Like the movie was, the TV show is not very good at the close. So same thing. Take the last 2 minutes of your presentation and present that 10, 15 times too. Another 30-minute exercise. And then you tackle the middle. And the middle, you can follow. There's different frameworks you can follow. I'll give you the easiest ones that I teach people called SIT, like SIT. Like sitting down, and SIT stands for story, insight, tip. Tell a story that is related to the tip, the insight that you want to share. So it's like, oh, I was with my mom the other day and I learned and I realized that this is why this is so important for leadership, something like that. And then you give a practical tip and advice. And that's SIT and puzzle.
Yeah. This is a bit similar to, for example, to storytelling. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. And it's good because I think sometimes we think about presentations, and when we are practicing, if it's, I don't know, a 45 minutes presentation, then we say, okay, I'm not practicing 10, 15 times a 45 minutes presentation. But then if we do like the 10, 15 times the first, the presentation, the just the intro to the presentation, then 10, 15 times the ending, then in the middle, of course, that it's good to train for a few times, but maybe we don't need to train for 10, 15 times because we have, we catch people in the beginning and then we close it in a good way also.
You're super sharp, Mafalda. And that's what I've noticed in this podcast is like you get the insight really, really fast, which is exactly the point. That's why I invented Puzzle, because I would hear from clients or just people in general. And I'd say like, oh, how many times did you practice your presentation? They're like, you know, I practice it once. I was like, why? I said, well, it's 45 minutes, Brendan. Like, I'll present it once, and then I just want to eat my lunch, and then I forget about it, and then I present. Whereas Puzzle solves for that problem. Whereas you do the intro the first few times, and then you feel really good. You're like, wow, my introduction is so good. That's the key point, is momentum, right? Same thing with the close. Yeah. Is like, oh, my conclusion is really bad. But then you do it 10 times, and then you're like, oh, it's so good. And then you keep building. So yeah, very well articulated, totally.
Yeah. And it's also good because if you start well a presentation, then this will affect the confidence that you have on the rest of the presentation. And then in the end, people tend to remember the last few parts. Okay, they will remember the highlights, but they will remember for sure how you went. So if you end well, it will be much better than if you just make a mistake in the middle, people won't remember. But if you make a mistake in the end, maybe people will remember. So it's really good because this beginning give you confidence for the presentation, and then this end will help people remember in a good way your presentation.
Absolutely. And the psychology behind that is confirmation bias and recency bias. So recency bias is exactly what you said, where it's like people only remember the last couple of interactions. And confirmation bias means like if you start a presentation really well, human beings will invent stories about you. They'll go, oh, like if you make mistakes in the middle, oh, no, but that person is really good. Whereas if you're really bad at the beginning, confirmation bias works in the opposite way. They go, oh, this person's really stinky. Like they didn't prepare really well. They're not very good. Yeah. So it's all about playing to human psychology. So yeah, that's why people remember the beginning and the end. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Any other additional tips you want to share?
These are the most important, but happy to share other tips if you'd like, Mafalda. Another one that comes to mind for storytelling, I got like 20 of these, is like with storytelling is you, like Les Brown says, never make a point without telling a story, and never tell a story without making a point. So the quote is a little complicated. I actually had to read it 10 times to understand it myself. But the point that Les Brown is making is like every great story has a great lesson attached to it. Let me give you an example, Mafalda. I'm sure this has happened in your life. It happens in my life a lot, where a friend comes up to you and says, oh my God, Mafalda, you wouldn't believe what happened last week. And you're like, cool, what happened? And then 20 minutes later, they're still talking, and you're like, what? Like, what happened? Like, I don't get it. So I'm sure, and we're all nice to these people, but we're kind of like, geez, I don't want to talk to this person that much because they're focusing on the story, but there's no point to the story.
Yeah.
So the trick is to get better at storytelling in general is to start with the lesson first. So you want to write down two or three lessons that you're like, huh. And it could be funny. It could be like something that happened to you last week. It could be more serious, like what we're doing, like a lesson to something. And then you find the story that matches the lesson. Let me give you an example in my life. So obviously my key lesson in this whole podcast is I want people to believe, I don't care who you are. you could be in Portugal, you could be in India, you could be in Cambodia, that if you listen to me talk, you'll slowly convince yourself that you can be a great speaker. Oh, you know, Brendan is like, the tips are not that complicated. Like, I can do this too. That's my goal whenever I show up on a podcast. Yeah. I don't want to sound too smart, because if I sound too smart, then people will go like, ah, you know, he's too good. He was born with this. But now the million-dollar question is, what is the story that I need to tell to prove the lesson? And the story I use all the time, Mafalda, when I'm keynoting, is the three challenges I had when I was speaking. So number one is the story around the French, right? I spoke my whole life in a second language. The second one is I have a degree in accounting. It's really the opposite of what a public speaking coach is. And the third one is the accident I have at birth. So a lot of people won't notice this in the podcast, but my left arm is actually crooked, right, physically, because of an accident I had when I was born. So people look at me all the time when I'm speaking in person. They always look at my arm. So I was always very self-conscious when I was younger. And that's the story that proves the lesson, is like, if I could do public, I'm like one of the top communication experts in the world right now, which is crazy, because I'm still like in my 20s. So if I can do this, imagine what you could do with your life. So the story leads to the lesson and then adds the impact.
Yeah, amazing. I think it's the lesson, it will help catch the person in front of us, and then the story will help people understand the first part of the lesson. And what you are saying, the trying to make people understand that they also can do, this is also one of my missions, that try to understand that everybody has what I call a superhero inside of us. I don't have anything special, but it's like, I don't have anything special, but at the same time, we are all special. We just need to work and have consistency in what we want to achieve. And this is like any other thing that we want to work on. Communication is the same. We cannot expect that if we are completely sedentary, that the first time that we go to a gym, that the day after we lose 20 pounds or we build 20 kilos muscle or whatever. We are not expecting that. So we cannot expect that our communication grow from 0 to 100 in the next day. Transforming this in practical tips like the ones that we talk here, I think it's really helpful for people to understand that, okay, this is not so complicated. And when I say it's not so complicated, doesn't mean that it's going to be from one day to the other. Just means that the specific actions are not so complicated to implement, but anyway, they need consistency. They need to practice, like we do in the gym or like we do in whatever other area in our life. So I think demystifying a little bit communication and helping people understand that, okay, it's not like I was born a good communicator or I was born a bad communicator. No, this is a skill. And making this skill manageable with some practical tips, like the ones that we talk, I think is really good for people. So thank you for the job that you are doing and for all the tips that we talk here on this podcast.
Absolutely, Mafalda. The pleasure was absolutely mine. And thanks for the work that you do as well, bringing out people's superheroes. I think that's awesome. And thanks for the show. It was great.
Yeah. I would like to ask you, where can our listeners find you online?
Absolutely. Oh, sorry. Interrupted you by accident there. Yeah, the easiest way to keep in touch is definitely Instagram. So you can follow me at Master Your Talk. So your is spelled YOUR. And feel free to send me a DM and let me know what you thought of this episode. I'd love to hear from you. And I'll respond with a voice note.
I'm sure that this will be... all the things that we talk during the podcast will be really good for our listeners. And they will for sure, if they implement the tips, they will for sure improve their communication.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Mafalda. I really appreciate it.